There's a book that came out, well, I guess a couple of weeks ago, which I just finished reading. It's a very compelling book, and I don't think it could be more timely. It's called Extortion by Peter Schweizer, and you've seen him all over TV and all over radio, but what you haven't heard is me talk to Peter Schweizer. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. You know, this book is very compelling because it kind of puts an exclamation mark behind so much that you think is going on in Washington, D.C., the deals, the sleaze, the cronyism, and so forth. Now, one of the focuses that's of particular interest to me is the Justice Department. What have you found at the Justice Department?
Well, you know, Mark, you served at senior levels in the Justice Department during the Reagan administration, and you know how the place works. What's happened under President Obama is it's become highly politicized. You had in 2009, beginning with Eric Holder and five other senior positions, occupied by campaign bundlers that had raised a lot of money for President Obama. And since that time, the Department of Justice has been, frankly, used as a tool for intimidation to go after companies and individuals who were not supportive of the president. And they've targeted these industries with, enforcing or allegedly enforcing very vague laws like the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And there's actually a lot of statistical evidence that if you are a friend of this administration, you make campaign donations, Mark, your chances of facing prosecution are far, far lower for those that don't. So it's really a tool of intimidation and, frankly, extortion of corporations today.
This is incredibly, incredibly important because real regimes use the law to punish and reward and to shake down and to do these sorts of things. I mean, you're talking about real tyranny here, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. And if you look at something like the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which is a very vaguely written law, this is a law that was written in 1977 by Covington & Burling, which is Eric Holder's law firm. Between 1977 and 2008, there were an average 2 to 3 prosecutions a year. Didn't matter, Democrat, Republican. It was a very, very loosely used law because it's so vague in the way that it's written. The Obama administration comes in, and in 2009, there are more than 150 investigations. And as we outline in the book, who's targeted? You have, Coke Industries is targeted for investigation. You have Walmart. You have News Corp, which, of course, owns Fox News. All the major individuals that are seen by this administration as not supportive of their agenda are targeted. And the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act allows them literally to file criminal charges, not only against the executive that might have committed the offense, how vaguely defined, but also board members. And they targeted after the 2010 midterm elections, Mark, they targeted certain industries that had been very supportive of the Tea Party, like the independent oil and gas industry. These are kind of the small to mid-sized oil and gas companies. They'd given 4 times as much to Republicans as Democrats during that midterm election when the Tea Party helped regain Congress. A couple of days after those midterm elections, they send out a letter, a so-called industry sweep letter that says, we are now investigating you for violation of this law. You can face jail time. You better come clean. And if you know of anybody else in the industry that's broken the law, we're going to investigate you, too. It was a clear act of intimidation.
I mean, this really is like old Soviet stuff here. And that is all right. So you have that going on at Justice, which is incredible. As you say, I was chief of staff to an attorney. We would never have even thought of this sort of thing. And then
exactly. Then
you have at the IRS a direct assault on Tea Party groups, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is the problem. We are reaching a point where extortion, we think of what goes on in Washington, D.C. so much in terms of kind of like bribery. You know, it's like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. These kind of innocent people come and they get corrupted by all these outside influences. That happens, I guess, sometimes. People get, accumulated to the, acclimated to the culture in D.C. But a bigger problem is not bribery. It's extortion. It's people that come in, they have power, the federal government has become so large and so powerful, Mark, that they now literally can identify laws or identify pressure points, and they can intimidate very, very powerful corporations and individuals into basically paying protection money or getting them to lay off of their political activities for fear that they can have the book thrown at them or bad things will happen to their company.
And part of the problem is there's so many laws and rules and regulations, and the bureaucracy can issue so many unilaterally. People don't even know. I mean, the average person doesn't even know where there's strict criminal liability and so forth. So when people say, we need more regulations, we need more regulations, they really don't understand the power that they're arguing to confer on this federal leviathan, do they?
No, that's exactly right, Mark. You know, I quote in the book Alan Dershowitz, you know, the law professor at Harvard, and he says that the average professional in America unwittingly probably commits three felonies a day because there's so many felonies, there's so many statutes that are so vaguely written, and that if you are sort of a motivated attorney general or prosecutor, you can find a person and then figure out what crime to pin on them. The other thing that happens is this sort of regulatory extortion where, you know, you wonder why these bills like, you know, Dodd-Frank, you know, the financial reform bill is like 2,000 plus pages long. Nobody understands what the heck is in that bill. That's by design, Mark, because literally the people that wrote Dodd-Frank, that worked for Senator Dodd and for Congressman Barney Frank, after that law became law, quit their jobs and they opened up consulting firms. And you know what they did? They started charging corporations six-figure consulting fees to interpret the law that they had written. It's basically like writing regulations in like ancient Egyptian language or Sanskrit that nobody can understand and saying, now you got to pay me to interpret the law that I wrote. That's extortion, and that goes on all the time.
This is just hard. I mean, I know it's just hard to stomach. The book is Extortion. I'm talking to Peter Schweizer, who's a real patriot. Now, Peter, so we have this institutionalized criminalizing of basic, you know, conduct. But there's other things, and it's not just Democrats, it's not just the bureaucracy. You write a fairly scathing account of how John Boehner conducts himself.
Yeah, and this is an example of how the political party establishments, you know, are really view this as a business. I think when a lot of us are concerned about what the situation is in our country, we think of it in terms of ideas, we think about it the future, we think about it in terms of political philosophy. Far too many of the guys inside the Beltway, I think frankly, including Speaker Boehner, they view this as a business. And, you know, here's the bottom line, Mark. The business model that works in Washington, D.C. is not fixing problems. It's not reducing the debt. Because if everything worked that way, nobody there would get paid. So they come up with all of these methodologies and approaches. One of the things that happens all the time are what they call milker bills. Now, a milker bill has nothing to do with the dairy industry. It's a bill that's designed, it's introduced, and it's designed to scare the crap out of a company or an industry, because then the politicians are going to milk them for campaign donations and for lobbying and consulting gigs for their family members.
This is worse than the damn mob.
Yeah, that's
this is
exactly right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they come up with these phony bills to scare the hell out of one industry or one group after another, and then they make contributions to some congressman or senator to help them stop it.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's protection money. It's like the mafia, the guys that show up at your grocery store and say, hey, you know what? It'd be real shame if this building burned down. You know, and you pretty much get the idea of what's going on. The Obama administration executed what you could call a double milker bill in 2011 when they basically pitted Hollywood and the high-tech industry against each other. These are two very wealthy industries. They liked Obama. They weren't coughing up money. So the whole Stop Online Piracy Act, which was a bill Hollywood wanted and the high-tech industry did not want, the administration basically executed this double milker bill because everybody was wondering, is President Obama going to sign this bill or not? Is he in support of it or not? And they waited, and for the course of almost an entire year, Mark, they milked both sides for massive donations, creating this arms race. And then when Hollywood executives were tapped out, they said, oh, well, we're not going to support the bill after all. This sort of stuff goes on all the time. Both sides do it. And it's one of the reasons nothing gets done on Capitol Hill. You wonder why they spend all that time up there and they never deal with the real problems. There's no money in real problem solving. The money is in doing these milker bills and doing what John Boehner does that's called the toll booth, which is another method of extraction.
He is a very successful a fundraiser. My understanding is he spends an enormous amount of his time traveling the country, raising millions and millions of dollars, and he uses that in order to influence votes and influence loyalty by supporting certain people in his party and withholding money. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Here's one of the funny things is that, there's a law and the ethics rules say that, members of Congress cannot negotiate or get campaign donations in their congressional offices, and it cannot be linked to legislation. If you and I went into a congressional office and did that, it's a crime. We could end up going to jail. There's an exception, though, and it's written into the rule. The exception is other members of Congress. And there are numerous times that we highlight in the book where John Boehner, there's an important vote where he needs to get people to back him, and the Tea Party is resisting him. And in order to make that vote work, he literally doles out cash on the day of the vote, sometimes $5,000, $10,000 donations from his leadership PAC to Republicans that are in safe seats. Moderate Republicans that are in safe seats, but the way he gets loyalty is he's literally buying their votes. The Democrats, of course, do the same thing. This is not just Boehner that does this. But it is a wash in vote buying from the leadership, and they're using these leadership PACs, and this is the way that they try to maintain discipline, not by appealing to them on principle, but by appealing to their pocketbook and basically paying them off.
You know, Peter Schweizer, I have to go. You've done an enormous public service with this book, Extortion. Mr. Producer, make sure it's up on my social sites. Folks, you need to get a copy of this. When you get a copy of this, get a copy of mine, too, The Liberty Amendments, because I'm convinced now more than ever, Peter, that from my perspective, that we got to bypass this process. We've got to go through the Constitution. They're never going to reform themselves, these people. They're too piggish. They're too powerful. They're too hungry. But I want to thank you for your outstanding book, Extortion. You're doing a great job. Just look over your shoulder from time to time.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that very much.
All right. God bless you. Take care of yourself. You believe this stuff?